You need to know before the blessing comes, there will be a process. Everybody wants the blessing, but don't want to go through the burden of the process.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is the fourth and final part from Pastor Rogers' Blessed and Highly Favored series. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers. This is Make My Baby Leap.
If God said he's going to bless you, then no devil in hell can stop it, and neither can 10,000 people in this auditorium. I can assure you, no denomination, no religion can stop you from receiving what God has if you will simply believe God. I wish you'd put your hands together and give God just a few moments of praise right there. This is important for you to get a hold of, that God will never let you believe his word and then leave you hopeless and ashamed. Philippians 1 and 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, Paul writes, whether it be in life or in death. He follows it up in the next verse to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Pastor, I thought you was talking about faith. I am talking about faith. Faith will not leave you hopeless and ashamed. In other words, God will not let you believe something from now or into eternity that if he said it, he will bring it to pass. You will not be hopeless or ashamed at God for believing God. Whether it be next year, next 10 years, or 10,000 years in eternity, God will not let you believe his word and not deliver on his promise. Being blessed and highly favored carries with it a whole lot of connotation. It is the declaration over your life that what God sees in you is more than what you see in yourself. God has chosen you. Look at your neighbor and tell him God's chosen you. He's chosen you to be greatly graced. Now, one of the things you need to know is that whenever God declares upon your life that you are blessed and highly favored, many times when you're in that condition, you get excited about it only to find out that I'm about to walk through the trial and the misery and the burden of my life, because nothing comes from God without a battle before you get the blessing. So being blessed and highly favored, you better make sure you look in the mirror and say, are you ready? Can you handle being blessed and highly favored? He's saying that I'm going to greatly grace you and that I will perform my work inside of your life until the day of the Lord. So when the word comes to us and a promise is made, it will go through the process of you believing, conceiving, and receiving. And this, my friend, is where we step into the narrative of the scripture that we've been talking about and read to you this morning that did not start in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It did not start there. This was the prophesied word of the Lord that began in the book of beginnings in Genesis, in the Genesis of time, that a virgin will bring forth a son. And the Bible says that the seed of the woman, women do not have the seed. God, in his great minds of wisdom and incredible intellect, chose that men would give the seed, and that the blood type of the child would be to the man, and that the woman and her blood would not mix. God, in his forethought, knew he was going to bring a chosen son in the time of the fulfillment of the days, and he did it in the perfect timing of the Lord. Now, that was a process. Even though the Bible says that he was the lamb slain from the foundations of the world, it was thousands of years, and prophets and judges and Old Testament and New Testament and tabernacles and types and shadows before we open up with Luke, Dr. Luke, writing the narrative, saying that a virgin will bring forth a son. And he gives to us the insight of the Gabriel, the angel of announcement, who comes to tell the chosen of God, the Virgin Mary. Now, why is this a big deal today? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big deal to call her a virgin because she not only was a virgin, but ladies and gentlemen, she gave birth as a virgin, and there are many people grappling with that today. But ladies and gentlemen, hear me. If she wasn't a virgin when she conceived of the Holy Ghost, he became a sinful man just like the rest of us and is not the Redeemer. Therefore, the cross and the resurrection are null and void. But because he was born of a virgin, he started off sinless from the dawn of time and remained the sinless Son of God who paid a ransom for our sin when he hung between heaven and earth. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The enemy tried to destroy him from the very beginning and assassinate him before he was 2 years old. But when you are blessed and highly favored, the devil can't touch what God has blessed. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we read it. The angel came to her and said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." That's a good thing. How many of you know the Lord is with you this morning? If you don't know the Lord is with you, you'll doubt and fear and bite your fingernails and wonder where in the world and what the world's going to happen. But I got news for you. When I woke up this morning, actually I didn't wake up, been up all night long. For all of you sleepers out there, I can assure you God was up with me last night. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. It's good to know that the Lord is with me whithersoever I go. I don't know how that makes you feel, but when I get in the car and driving down the road, what could have killed me when it knocked the bumper off of my car on Highway 29? The angels of the Lord were encamped around about them that fear him. I came to tell you, it's more than money to say that the Lord is with me. The angel of the Lord said that the Lord is with thee. Thou art highly favored among women. He didn't say that you are favored above women. He said you're favored among women. That takes out the co-existent savior of the Catholic theology that says that she is a co-redeemer. She was favored among women, not above women. And when she saw him, she was fearful in saying, "Why in the world is this salutation coming to me?" And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And then the angel begins to lay out the process. You need to know before the blessing comes, there will be a process. Everybody wants the blessing, but they don't want to go through the burden of the process. Everybody wants the promotion, but they don't want to start at the bottom rung. People coming out of college want to go straight to six figures as if they've earned it, but I got news for you. You got to pay your dues along the way. I say you got to pay your dues along the way. You don't just come into this thing and all of a sudden you're just ramping up all the way to the top. There is a place. And if you don't get that experience, if you don't walk through those trials, then you're not going to be fortified enough to carry what the blessing is. For the blessing has as much weight as the burden does. You better hear me. You wouldn't want to be sitting in this building had they not reinforced this floor and even the pew you're sitting on. Isn't it amazing how we can have faith for things that we don't even think about every day? You're sitting on a pew and some of you have got several people on your row. I want you to know you're more at risk than the ones that have only got a few. That's Presswood you're sitting on. Come on, somebody. But because it's been proven time and time again, you can be safe to sit on it and not fall on the ground. You don't want to go to somebody who hadn't been proven. Come on, somebody. That's the reason why whenever my wife went in for open heart surgery 5 years ago, I asked that doctor, "How many surgeries like this have you done?" "Oh, Pastor, did you make him mad?" I didn't care. He couldn't know my wife. I want to know. I don't want to just see a plaque on the wall that says I'm a brain surgeon. I want to know how many brains have you gotten into. Come on, somebody. Oh, I got a hangnail. I don't care. You're not going to break out a knife and cut that thing off of my toe until I know how many of these toes have you done, or you just come out of manicuring school. Come on, somebody. I want to know before you start digging around telling me I got this and I got that, tell me how you're qualified. Before you start telling me how to raise my kids, tell me how many have you. Before you start telling me how to preach, tell me. Before you start telling me how to live my life, then you better tell me what's happened in your life. And I will tell you that you can get around some people that have walked through some trials, and you'll see the anointing. They won't be the ones who are always boasting themselves, but I can tell you they got the marks of the trade on them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They'll look at you, and whenever you tell them what you're going through, tears will pop out of their eyes because they know that they're relating with what you're going through, and they've been somewhere near that, and they know that if it had not been for the Lord who was on their side, it's not just about quoting a few scriptures, it's about walking through the trial and walking it out through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you can't say that unless you walk through a valley or two. When you walk through a valley, now you got something behind, you got some experience to get there. And the Bible says that he starts telling her the narrative, the process. He said, you shall conceive in your womb. She's already messed up. I don't know a man, she says. You're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. You're not going to call his name Bob, Tom, or a boy named Sue. You're going to call him Jesus. Why? Because he shall be great. That you don't call your dogs that name, and you don't call your children that name. Come on, somebody. Because God has given him a name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At that name, sickness has to dry up and die. At that name, demons scatter. At that name, the heavens are opened up. At the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's going to be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And she comes back with the same line that we do. How shall these things be? How's this going to happen? Because I don't know a man. I've never known a man. I've never been intimate. I've never had relations with a man, and you're telling me I'm going to have a son. Now, angel, have you ever had a discussion with God? 10 of us. Angel, this doesn't work the way I see it. The way I see it, I've never known a man, therefore I cannot have a son. 1 + 1 = 2. And God said, I don't care what you see, and I don't care how you feel, and I don't care what you perceive, it doesn't matter. God said, you're blessed and highly favored, and I have chosen you. Now, here's the question I have for all of you this morning. Are you available to be blessed and highly favored? Ask your neighbor, are you available to be blessed and highly favored? That's what I want to know. Because see, here's the deal. God's not going to call you blessed and highly favored unless you're going to make yourself available to him to be able to be blessed and highly favored. And I know in the society we're in right now, some of you can't take stand in this church for any longer than an hour or 30 minutes because you're on a 30-second soundbite and you got a lot of things to do. And hey, don't worry. You won't have to worry about the angel of the Lord speaking to you. And you won't have to worry about the manifestations of the Lord. But there are some of us in this room who are sick and tired of being so cumbered down with every other thing and this trial and that trial and this and that and this burden, and I ain't got time for God. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'm available for you. Do what you want to do.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then. remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.